2,000 years ago, about this time, we now commemorate what is called Holy Week. This is the most dynamic and demeaning, degrading and elevating moment in the earthly life of Jesus Christ. This is the ultimate purpose for which he came. This is the opiate of the expression of the love of God toward us begins this week. It is during this entire Lent season that we become more sacrificial because we honor his sacrifice. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. We honor his sacrifice in our own lives, reminding ourselves that our desires or our needs or our habits or our routines can be disrupted as a sacrifice unto God, so that we can be one with him. Because if I know him in the fellowship of his suffering, then I shall be like him in the power of his resurrection. Are you with me today? And so this starts, I grew up as a little child. Everybody got little crosses in the back of the church. Y'all don't remember the little palm crosses? They were about an inch by an inch long, and everybody got little crosses with a straight pin stuck through them, and you stuck it on your shirt, and it was Palm Sunday. So it's Palm Sunday, saints. And I'm going to go close to the text that is normally used on the day. It is the same day. It is the same moment, but it is a different emphasis. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, verse number 37 through 44. And there we will begin to allow the word to graft to our souls. The Bible said the engrafted word of God is able to save your soul. That means word that doesn't stick, don't stay. If it doesn't stick, it doesn't stay. If it doesn't stay, it doesn't change anything. The engrafted word of God. So we want the word of God to be engrafted into our souls. Are y'all ready? Y'all don't look ready. Are y'all ready? Y'all need to get me in the mood. Are y'all ready? Yeah, are you online? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty work that they had seen. Saying, watch this closely, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones immediately would cry out. And when he was come near, having left the Mount of Olives, when he was come near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the thing which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Go back to that first verse. And they, to the first verse that I read. Yeah, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. I want to talk to you today about knowing in the noise. Knowing in the noise. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. We desperately need your glory and your presence in order to be effective in doing what you've called us to do. Anoint these lips of clay that they may be endowed with the grace that is necessary to do thy will, O God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And all the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I got all caught up into this noise. And the noise drew my attention. The loudness of the scene. Let me set it up a little bit. The loudness of the scene between the screaming of the disciples saying Hosanna and later the screaming of his enemies saying crucify him. The doubting of the Pharisees doubting him. And Jesus had to function in all of that noise. These are noisy times we're living in right now. Constant trauma. We got it coming through ways that our parents and our grandparents never had to deal with it before. We got it coming through the media, 24-hour news cycles. We got it coming through social media. We got it coming through politics like I've never seen in my life. We've got it coming through the pandemic. We've lost normal. We got racial tensions. We got the rolling back of our rights to vote in this country. It's so loud right now that it is deafening. Add all of the turbulence on the outside to your own personal noise. The noise in your family. I know you don't have no noise in your family. Pray for me. But sometimes my family get noisy. You know, you always got something going on. You got the noise in your family. You got the noise in your finances. You got the noise on your job. I don't care what you do. There's always somebody that you work with that don't like you. You got the noise of your job, the pressure of deadlines, the dates to meet, the this to do, the that to do, the bills to be paid, the taxes to come. Have you had your teeth cleaned? When was the last time you've been to the podiatrist? You haven't had anybody do anything with your scalp or your skin or your this, and you're standing in the middle of so much noise. You live in it. You drive in it. You walk in it. You get in your car and you get in the traffic. They're honking and blowing and pushing and shoving. You turn on your phone and there's somebody you don't even know on Instagram laying you out about something you don't even understand about. And you have to live in the noise. It isn't just the decimal of the noise itself, how loud, how boisterous it is. It also goes far beyond that. It is the constant living under the threat that takes away our peace. Peace has become valuable. When I was young, I wanted joy. We danced all night long. They put us in the car. We were still dancing and shouting up. And y'all don't know nothing about that. But in old Holy Ghost sanctified church, we go to and we shout and shout. And then we just had joy. But as I got older, I appreciate joy. But Lord, can I have a little peace? Oh, if you give me a little peace, I don't have to dance all night. Now I just want to be able to sleep all night. Y'all not going to talk to me. We've lost the sense of peace, the sense of contentment, the sense of well-being, the feeling of safety. Looking over your shoulder in the grocery store. Can't go to a theater without watching everybody. In the airport, looking for a strange bag dropped at a strange place. You're scared of everybody. Living constantly under the threats of not knowing what's going to happen next. It has taken away our peace. We don't like to admit it, but it's taken away our peace. We have to take something to go to sleep. We have to take something to keep us up during the day. About 2 o'clock, you just almost go into a coma because you didn't get rest all night. And about 2 o'clock, there you are just stumbling all over the top of stuff. So you got to get something going. For ain't nothing but coffee, trying to keep going. It's taking away our peace, our contentment, our feeling of safety has brought us to a place of longing for the quietness of nothingness. Right there, the quietness of nothingness. Young people, don't be in such a hurry to make something happen. I understand your energy and your passion and your drive to make something happen. But after a while, you're going to have so much happening, you're going to wish for a little. The quietness of nothingness. Some peace. You got noise in your head that has nothing to do with your family, nothing to do with your bills, nothing to do with your debt, nothing to do with your deadlines, your responsibility, nothing to do with the news, nothing to do with your neighbors, nothing to do with the brand. The noise in your head. You know, you could have done this. You know, you should have done that. You know, you're not this. You're not adequate about this. You don't do this well. You don't do that well. And then you're never going to get where you're trying to. You're never going to be. You got all that noise in your head. It's loud. So loud that even when you lay down at night, science is teaching us that your mind is going when your body has stopped. And you wake up as tired as you were when you went to bed because you went to sleep, but you never got rest. Because your head is still turning at 90 miles an hour. And I'm wondering how you can stand the noise of being you. And you don't have to be famous or rich or well-known or anything. Everybody in here got some noise. Everybody, I'm going to say that again, because I'm going to drive that spirit of hypocrisy out of here. Everybody in here got some noise you want to shut down, some phone calls that when you get them and you see who it is, you act like you didn't hear it ring, because you don't need no more noise. I hate to confess it, April, but sometimes I look at it and I see who it is and I don't answer. Because I don't need no more noise. I got my own noise. I'm trying to deal with this. Shut up. I don't have no more room for noise. You're bursting my eardrums with your story. Shut up. Right now I'm trying to handle my own mess. And then I walk past the TV and I listen to their mess. And I go past the news and I listen to their mess. And I got international noise going on. And it is deafening. Now in the natural, when noise gets loud, we know it can damage the eardrums. But a recent study that was done in Germany's main university medical center says an increasing amount of noise can actually throw your heart out of rhythm. It can cause atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, that's hard to say. What it is, irregular heartbeat. Can create blood clots. Can cause a stroke. Even heart failure. If atrial fibrillation can cause a heart failure just by noise, there's nothing biologically wrong with you, but the intensity of the noise in your life can affect the rhythm of your heart. It's already messed up the rhythm of your sleep. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. This is God talking to you this morning. And but it can go so far that it messes up the rhythm of your heartbeat. And it's not just outer noise, because I can cut off the TV, I can cut off the radio, I can cut off the telephone, I can cut out all of that, but the noise in my head. Anything that can create agitation, irritation, or changes your mood affects your blood pressure, can trigger atrial fibrillation in your life just because you're upset. It's not surprising that irritable noise or noise in general, when someone is looking for quiet, could trigger cardiac arrest. That's why I don't answer the phone. That's why every now and then I just don't answer. I saw it, I just don't answer. Because you ain't going to give me no heart attack. I'm already at my limit. Where are my real people at? I need some real people. Are there any real people in here that you're already at your noise limit? You don't need to. No, I feel like the witch in all. Don't nobody bring me no bad news. And yet you can't wait for the noise to quiet to go ahead. You can't wait for the enemy to leave you alone to go ahead. You have to be able to go to work in the noise. You got to be able to take care of the kids in the noise. You got to be able to cook dinner in the noise. You got to be able to get dressed in the noise. You have to be able to function in noise that you can't always control. And today my goal is to show you what knowing will do to noise. Now, normally on a day like this, the cult steals the show. All over the country, preachers are going to be preaching about the cult that was tied to the post. And they'll be preaching hot messages like, loose him and let him go. And then across town, they'll be preaching, the Lord has need of him. And they'll be preaching about how Jesus sat on top of a cult, a beast of burden, carrying the one who carried our burdens. And they have all unique kind of ways to discuss it. But today I refuse to allow the cult to steal the show. Not the cult when it's compared to Christ. I'm in the presence of Christ and I'm going to preach to you about the cult. Who is the cult? Who cares about the cult? You preach about the cult. You preach about it. You preach about the cult. I want to preach about the Christ. This is the inaugural week of the greatest week of his life. And I don't want to be talking about his car. You know, petty people have petty conversations. You'll be saying something real profound, they'll be talking about your shoelaces. Is that gold shoelaces he got on? People can get caught up in the craziest stuff, and I am not going to worry about the cult when I can tell you about the Christ that rode on top of the cult. And the portion of oppressed people who see Christ's entry as the messianic leadership that will free them from the oppression of Rome. They were not following behind him, shouting Hosanna, because they saw him going to the cross. They were not shouting Hosanna because he was going to die for their sins. They were calling him the king because they thought he was going to release them from their oppression, the oppression of Rome. The status of Jesus has escalated in their minds beyond the miraculous. At first he was just a miracle worker, but he has gone from the miraculous till now they see him as the political. And they see him as a possible liberator. And so they're saying Hosanna, because after hundreds of years of not having a king, maybe he's going to be the king. He called himself the son of David. They called him the son of David, so maybe he's going to liberate us. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to overthrow the powers that oppress us. Hosanna, they said. Blessed be the king. They were his disciples. They were his support base. They were his friends. And they gave him, they lauded him with praise. They threw all types of praise at him. But sometimes even your admirers don't understand you. Sometimes the praise from your admirers can be as stressful as the criticism of your enemies. The pressure it puts on you, the expectations they have of you, the plan they have for your life, already mapped out, didn't ask you, can put more pressure. Living up to other people's expectations will drive you crazy. It will bring you down to your knees. It will make you function in Superman mode until Clark Kent has a heart attack. Beware. You know to beware of them that say crucify him. But watch out for them that say Hosanna too. Because Hosanna will put you in a state of overperformance. Hosanna will put you in a state of trying to live up to their expectations. Hosanna will put you in a place that they call him rightly. They call him the King of the Jews. They rightly called him the King of the Jews, but not the way they thought he was going to be King of the Jews. They thought it was going to be a coup, an overthrow, a restoration of what they lost. Because the truth of the matter is, they're following him for them. I hate to bust your bubble, but most of the people who are following you are not following you for you. Y'all ain't talking to me today. I wish I had my real church in here. They are following you for them. They have an agenda. They have an expectation. They have something they want you to do. They are following you for them. Hosanna! And they threw their coats down at his feet. Hosanna! And they laid branches down on the ground. Hosanna! Blessed be the king! They shouted unto him. They weren't calling him the king when he first came. They had experienced him as a prophet. The woman at the well said, I perceive that thou art a prophet sent from God. They understood him to be a prophet. No man can do such things save God be with him. They understood him as a prophet. Later, they would recognize him as a priest. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But this week they see him as a king. They see him as a king. They had seen his miracles. They had seen his power. They had seen his compassion for the people. He was so compassionate that he stopped preaching to feed them lunch. The Lord of glory started making fish sandwiches for his congregation. They were sure that he was empathetic. They had seen him move in such power that when they sought him out, he said, I that speak am he, and the ground trembled. He was bad. They had seen him walk on water where there was no bridge. Who could imagine a better king than this? Hosanna! If there's any chance of overthrowing Herod and getting past Pilate and getting past Caesar, it's gotta be this water walking. It's gotta be this water walking Jesus. It's gotta be this healing of leprosy Jesus. It's gotta be this Jesus that loves the people. And they were excited. The prophetic entrance to Jerusalem demands that Jesus enter in riding on a colt. That was to fulfill prophecy. And Jesus was interested in fulfilling prophecy. Let the record show. even though I am not going to be crowned, but crossed, let the record show, I am the king. Even though they will make my crown out of thorns and it will prick my head till blood runs down my face and they will spit on me and pluck my beard, I am the king. Even though they'll laugh at me and call me a charlatan and a crook, I am the king. Even though the church people that have been preaching about my coming for years have rejected me, I am the king. You got to know who you are. Jesus comes riding in on the coast to fulfill scriptures. They followed him out to the Mount of Olives. I've been to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is a high peak overlooking Jerusalem. The view from the Mount of Olives is absolutely staggering. They followed him out to the Mount of Olives. And all of a sudden, in the noise of their praise and the accusations of the Pharisees, Jesus starts weeping. Weeping and walking. Weeping and walking. A good percentage of my life I have spent weeping and walking. Y'all are going to talk to me about weeping and walking. I had to keep walking because I had a schedule to maintain. But I couldn't stop weeping because I knew in my own heart what I was going to have to deal with. Is there anybody in here that knows what it is to be weeping and walking? Just weeping and walking. Just driving down the road and you're just weeping and walking. On the highway and you're weeping and walking. Drying your face before you get out of the car because you're weeping. Jesus was... Oh, but Curtis, it helps me to know that I can weep and still walk. Oh, that I can cry and still be moving. That I can groan and still do what I got to do. The Bible says that Jesus was weeping and walking. You ain't heard a praise till you've heard a praise from somebody who's weeping and walking. All of them little cute praises because you got a new car and you got new shoes and they put your dress on sale. You can't praise God. Let somebody in here go to praising God who's been weeping and walking, and you'll see a real Holy Ghost prayer. I dare you, if you've been weeping and walking, to take a minute and give God some praise. Yes, 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 I'm praising him because I can weep and walk. I'm praising him that I cried my way through stuff. I cried, but I kept crawling. I cried, but I kept crawling. I weep, but I kept walking. I kept on going. Devil, I'm still here. Yeah, 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 that's a praise, that's a praise, that's a praise, that's a praise, that's the sacrifice of praise. When people just praise him because they got something, that's not the sacrifice of praise. But if you can praise him through tears, if you can praise him half sick, if you can praise him in debt, if you can praise him in trouble, if you can praise him in the storm, that is the sacrifice of praise. I need 30 seconds of sacrificial. Let me preach on a little bit. He Oh my God, glory. Oh my God. I just felt the devil resign. I just felt the demon resign because you won't stop praising God. After all he did to you, you still keep praising God. You've been to hell and back, and you still keep praising God. And the devil's about to throw up his hands and quit his job, because if you praise him again, that devil's going to have to get out of your house. I dare you to take a minute. The thing that I'm trying to capture out of this text is how Jesus keeps his wits about him in the noise. In the noise of their lofty expectations. And on the other hand, their vehement hatred. Their venomous hatred of an innocent man. He had to live in between the noise of the Pharisees saying you should make them shut up because they're calling you king. You see, the Pharisees were afraid that he would make their jobs obsolete, their religion replaceable. Fear creates hatred. I'm going to say that again. Fear creates hatred. Most of the people that hate us are afraid of us. I don't care who you are. Those people that hate you, they only hate you because they're afraid of you. They see your potential and they hate you for it. They see your favor and they hate you for it. They see how God uses you and they hate you for it. And I'm attracted to Jesus because Jesus has a way of living in the eye of this storm with a sense of himself in between the noise of Hosanna and crucifying. There stands Jesus. And let me be clear, when he's weeping, he is not weeping for himself. He is weeping for Jerusalem. He is weeping for Jerusalem. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belongs unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. If you knew who I was, we could have changed the world. We could have escalated the millennial reign. We could have brought in peace on earth. But I came unto my own, and my own received me not. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen does her chicks. Jesus wept for them. You don't ever see Jesus crying for himself. When Lazarus died, he wept for them. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. From the Mount of Olives, he wept for Jerusalem. He is in between the hosannas that were good but not quite right in their expectation. If you don't see that, you won't get the whole thing. Sometimes the people who think the most of you put the most pressure on you. See, I got to show you what's wrong with this Hosanna. It's not that he's not king. It's that they're expecting him to do what they want, how they want, when they want it, in the way they expected it. And the pressure of people's expectation will kill you. There are people listening at me right now. You are exhausted because everybody who loves you expects you to perform as they expected. And you're just worn out. Because they just want more and more and more. And can you do this? And can you do that? And can you take me here? And can you go with me there? And can you fix this? And can you do that? And can you do the other? And then after you do all of that, they don't even comfort you. They just say, oh, that's how he is. You know, Mama. Mama just can't do that. Mama just can't cook for 3 days without getting off of her feet. You know, Mama, she can just do that. You know, they think you can just do, they don't appreciate the sacrifice of what you do. Their hosanna is deafening because they think it costs you nothing to do what they expect you to do. They think it's easy for you to be where they expect you to be. They think it's so easy that even when you come in from battle, they give you no comfort because they think so much of you that they give nothing to you. I want that to sink in, because I know that's getting into some deep places. You've been wondering why you're not appreciated. You're not appreciated by the people who say Hosanna because they think you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that. That's how you are. She just like that. He's just wired like that. He can just do that. You never get appreciated for the level you're on by your admirers. And you don't doubt for one moment that they love you. But you do lay down weeping because they take you for granted. Hosanna is stress. And on the other hand, there's this group waiting on him. Crucify him. And Jesus exists between these two polarities. He is the man in the middle. He is the man in the middle. He cannot rest in the Hosanna, and he cannot stay in the crucify him. He is the man in the middle. Let us not overlook the fact that the Bible takes the time to tell us that Jesus comes to the Mount of Olives. He comes to the Mount of Olives where he had preached the Beatitudes about attitudes and grace and overlooks the city of Jerusalem. What starts at the Mount of Olives will end at the Mount of Calvary. And this text is stuck between two mountains. I got the Mount of Olives behind me, but I got the Mount Calvary before me. And I want to know, can you live between two mountains? Not fully reaping the benefit of either. He has come to the Mount of Olives where he cannot stay. And he is approaching the Mount of Calvary where he must die. And he will spend his last walk between two mountains. Jesus is used to being the man in the middle. I feel like preaching. Jesus is used to being the man in the middle. He, at dinner last night, he was the man in the middle. He sat down at the Last Supper and he had John on one side and Judas on the other side. Then John had his head on his breast and Judas would betray him with a kiss, and one loved him to death and the other one would cause him to die. And Jesus was a man in the middle. What a precarious place to sit between John and Judas. And to know who you are to the point that you can eat. Can you eat between John and Judas? Hey! Can you walk between Mount Olives and Mount Calvary? Only brings the question, can you eat between John and Judas? Can you exist between two opinions? Hosanna, you're the king. You should tell your people to shut up. And Jesus has to exist between two opinions without trying to fix either one of them. He doesn't have time to go back and explain to them, yes, I'm the king, but this is not the messianic age where I can set things up the way you want. I'm going to the cross. He doesn't have time to delay his travel dealing with his critics. He has to live between two opinions without acquiescing to either one. They know that he will die being a better man than they thought he was. But they also know that though they thought he was good, he was not going to be good in the way that they expected. And he had to live between two opinions. I want to talk to some people today who are living in controversy. You got your lovers and you got your haters. You got your well-wishers and you got the people that hope you choke. And you can't shut down either group. And God wants me to tell you that you can live between two places. You can live between two mountains. You can live between two disciples. You can live between two opinions. You can live between a priest and a man named Pilate. Caiaphas, the priest, initiated the crucifixion. And Pilate said, bring me some water and let me wash my hands. And Jesus had to live between the two. I want to deal with some people that are living between. Gap fillers. Some gap fillers. Paul talks about living between. I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not where I want to be. But this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He says the art of being a believer is to be able to believe even when you're not quite there yet. Jesus tells Thomas, you have believed because you have seen, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet they believe. I want to talk to people who aren't quite there yet. I'm not, the Baptist church, we used to say, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm between two places. I'm between Caiaphas and Pilate. I'm between two opinions. I'm between two disciples. I'm between two mountains. And before the week is out, they would hang him high and stretch him wide between two thieves. And had he not been able to function between two mountains and between two disciples and between two opinions and between the priest and Pilate and between two thieves, then he wouldn't be able to exist as a mediator between God and man. Jesus was the only one who could be the mediator between God and man, because Jesus was the one that was used to living in the middle. He's the man in the middle. How can you be who you are in the middle of the mess you're in? That's what I want you to get out of this message today, that Jesus is teaching us how to be in the middle. The late Ophir Dukes, one of the great public relations people here in the United States. He's deceased now. He told me he who stands in the middle of the road gets hit by both sides. There's a price to be paid to be in the middle. But balance is in the middle. You can't balance anything you can't center. And Jesus is going to bring back balance to what Adam took to extremes. And he is the one who stood in the middle. And he was able to be in the middle. I want to talk to some people who are in the middle of something right now. I want you to write down three things. You don't have to give personal details that you're in the middle of right now. In the middle of, I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of parenting. I'm in the middle of a crisis. I'm in the middle of a bad marriage. I'm in the middle of a promotion. I'm in the middle of opening up my business. I'm in the middle of redesigning myself. I want you to write down three things I'm in the middle of. I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it. I can't quite get the joy out of either thing coming. I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of getting out of debt. I'm in the middle of building a house. I'm in the middle of going back to school. I'm in the middle of raising my children. I'm in the middle of figuring out how to be single again. I'm in the middle of learning how to be a wife. Three things. I'm in the middle of it. 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 I'm in the middle of it right now. It keeps me up at night. Sometimes I wake up and I can't go back to sleep because I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it right now. I'm in the middle of my life. I'm in midlife crisis. I'm in menopause. I'm in the middle of it right now. 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 I'm in the middle of transition. I'm in the middle of changing jobs. I'm in the middle of frustration. And I don't quite feel appreciated in either place because I'm neither at Olives or Calvary. I'm neither with John or Judas. I'm in the middle of it right now. I'm between two places right now. Without the luxury of either, I am in the middle of it. And I am trying to figure out, how do you function in the middle? How do you function in the middle? Because being in the middle is noisy. The gravitational pull of your past is saying you can't go that high. And every time you take a step forward, it's trying to pull you back, saying you don't even belong in that arena. The gravitational pull of yesterday, if you're not careful, will cause you to end up with a conclusion like Newton that says what goes up must come down. And so you're afraid to believe in up because you might come down. You got somebody that loves you, but you can't quite believe in love because you've been betrayed before. You got a promotion in front of you, but you can't believe it because you had one before and they gave it to somebody else. And you're in the middle of it right now. And Jesus keeps his head in the middle. In the middle of all of this noise, there's something that he knows that stabilizes him. While everybody else is going to extremes, there's something that Jesus knows coming in the middle that causes him from tipping. Anybody else would have stayed at the party. Hosanna. Hosanna. Oh yeah, let's do it. Hosanna. Let's do it. You talking about me? You like me? You love me? Oh yeah, you with me? You my boy? You on my team? Anybody else would have stayed back there? But if he'd have stayed back there, he would have missed his purpose. Sometimes staying too long with people who are saying too much is just as bad as facing off with your enemies. He has the ability to know who he is without needing their palms, without needing their branches, without needing their accolades, without needing their song. They weren't calling him anything that he didn't already know about himself. He knew. Somebody shout, he knew. He knew. He knew. Independent of either mountain, he knew. independent of John or Judas. He knew. Independent of the priest or Pilate, he knew. Independent of a thief on this side and a thief on that side, he knew. In between God and man, he knew. Somebody shout, he knew. Everything you're trying to tell God, he already knew. He showed you how much he knew when he walked up to him and told him, he said, there's a colt in the next city. He hadn't even got to the city yet. He said, he's over in the next village and he's tied to a post. You will find him tied to a post. And when you find him, loose him and let him go and tell him the master has need of him. I'm not so crazy about the cold. I'm so impressed with the fact that we ain't even got to this village yet. And you already know what's ahead. Somebody shout, he knew. Whatever you're dealing with right now, God wants you to know, you might be surprised, but I'm not surprised. I knew this was going to happen in your life. And my grace is sufficient for what you're facing right now. If I'm talking to you, give him any kind of praise to God. Come on, Marcus, give me any kind of praise to God. He knew. Look at somebody, say, he knew. Type it on the line, he knew. Put it in the comments, he knew. Tweet it out, he knew. He already knew your father was going to get sick. He already knew your mother was going to die. He already knew you were going to face that calamity. He already knew you were going to have to die. He knew. He knew your friend was a betrayer. He knew you were going to be lied on. He already knew. He knew where the cult was. He sat at the table with his disciples and said, one of you is the devil. And all of them asked, is it I? Because they didn't know. But he knew. I can prove to you he knew, because he turned around and said, the one that dips with me, that is the one. And what thou doest, do it quickly. He knew. He already knew how the week would end. You see, knowing is what you do with noise. I know. I ain't gonna let this noise bother me today, because I already know. You can't buy me with compliments, and you can't run me home with criticism. Because I don't need your opinion to be who I am. I already know. I know. Somebody shout, I know. When you know what you know, what you know, it don't matter what they're saying on the right or what they're saying on the left. You have to know Jesus knew. He knew who he was. I heard him say, I am that I am the bread of life. I am the lily of the valley. I am the day star. I am the kinsman redeemer. I am a wheel in the middle of the wheel. I am the Lamb of God. I am the scapegoat. I am your bridge. I am the physician. I am water in dry places. I am the bright morning star. I am the hope for tomorrow. I am the light of the world. I am the mighty God. I am the wonderful counselor. I am the Prince of Peace. I am your help. I am your strength. I am your joy. I am Jesus knows who he is, but I also know who I am. I am the righteousness of God. I am the seed of Abraham. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. I am the favor of God. I am the beloved of God. I am the son of God. I am a child of God. I am God's man. I am God's creature. I am. Somebody, you better know it. You better know it. You better know it. You better know it. You don't need a crowd. You don't need a choir. You don't need a coach. You don't need a fan. You better know for yourself. You better know who you are. You better know what you got. You better know what you can do. You better know what God called you. I know I'm a good man. I'm not a perfect man, but I know I'm a good man. So if you forget to tell me, I know. I know I'm a provider. In case you don't tell me, I already know. Look at somebody and say, I know. God knows he's a provider. Whether you tell him he's a provider or not, he already knows. Do you know who you are? Do you know? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you got? Do you know what you bring to the table? Do you know what God did in your life? Do you know where God brought you from? Somebody type it now. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. In the noise, I know. In the storm, I know. In the crisis, I know. In the hospital, I know. In the unemployment line, I still know. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. And so, today, until you know it in the noise, you don't know it at all. You got to know it, even though you ain't got there yet. You got to know it. I told you I was a little boy, they call me Minister Jakes. And they used to make so much fun. They said, look at Minister Jakes walking around like he a bishop. They didn't know, but I knew. You got to know who you are. They used to talk about me when I had a little church in West Virginia. They said he can preach, but he can't pastor. But it didn't matter what they said. Because I know. They used to tell me that I needed to be more like them or I couldn't be successful. But I stayed like me because I know. They told me that preachers who preach like this would never make it on television because everybody was teaching back then. I got on camera talking about get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know why? I know. You got to know in the noise who you are in Christ Jesus. So when Jesus cries, he doesn't, anybody else would have been crying about the cross. He stands over Jerusalem and says, you don't know what you missed. You don't know what you rejected. You don't know what I offered you. Oh, Jerusalem, you don't know what you had. You don't know what you had. You don't know what I was offering you. He said, now your enemies are going to bring you down to the ground. Not one stone will be left standing upon another. They will dig ditches around you, and they will bring you down to the ground. And you will wail, and your children will suffer because you rejected what I brought you. Because you couldn't decide who I was. But I knew who I was. In the noise we're in now, I've never seen such noise in all of my life. And the noise we're in now, the only way not to have a nervous breakdown is to know. In the pressure we're facing right now, the only way to survive it is to know. It's not safe to be nobody. Women aren't safe. Men aren't safe. Black folks ain't safe. Asians ain't safe. Latinos aren't safe. Ain't nobody safe now. Everybody's a victim right now. All hell is breaking loose everywhere. You got to know whose child you are. You got to know what God has done in your life. You got to know where God brought you from. You got to know that he didn't bring you this far to leave you. You got to know that you've been through the tough side of the mountain before. You got to know that the same God who brought you through yesterday will take you through today and tomorrow. You got to know that what surprised you didn't surprise God. God already knew that was going to happen. God already prepared you for that. His grace is sufficient for what you're dealing with right now. Go to the next village. If God keeps track of a colt, if God knows what post he's on and the rope that tied him, then there's nothing that you're facing right now that God didn't know. And if you can just trust that he knows. Nothing snuck up on him. Nothing left him aghast. Nothing left him without being prepared. God has prepared for what you're dealing with right now. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is. God has prepared for what you're dealing with right now. And though it's noisy, you got to know, I'm the woman for the job. I'm the man for the job. I'm the preacher for the job. I'm the son that can handle it. I'm the daughter that can deal with it. I'm the one that can keep my pace in my pain. I'm the one that can keep walking while I'm crying. I can cry and crawl, but I will get there in time. before the week was over, Jesus was right where he was supposed to be. And the noise of his fans didn't push him, and the noise of his critics didn't delay him. Y'all didn't hear what I gave you. If you knew what I just gave you, you would run around your house right now. The noise of your fans don't make you, and the noise of your enemies don't break you. It is not what they know about you. It's what you know. It's what you know. It's what you know. It's what you know. Everybody else said the woman with the issue of blood was going to die. All of her doctors had given up. Her bank account had given up. Her family had moved away. Even Jesus paid her no attention. But listen to how she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will, not I might, I will be made whole. Jesus wasn't studying her. That's grandmama talking. Jesus wasn't studying her. He wasn't looking at her. He wasn't paying her no attention. He asked her, who touched me? It was not even his knowledge of her that got her healed. It was her knowing. If I touch him right now, somebody right now, if you touch him right now, going through what you're going through right now, bleeding like you're bleeding, hurting like you're hurting, finances like they are, family like it is, emotions like they are, situations in your mind, your emotion, if you, I know you can't stand up. If you crawl over, if you crawl over your hands and knees, and this is, you ain't got to shake him out of hand if you just touch the hem of his garment, you'll be made whole. You have to know that. You have to know this is your moment. And even though they're paying you no attention, and you're not in the circle, and you're not part of the crowd, and you're not one of his boys, you got to crawl up behind them and touch the hem of his garment and say, today is my day to be made whole. Lift your hands and open your mouth to God. Tell him, today is my day. Today's my day. Today is my day to be made whole right now. I made up my mind. I'm not gonna leave till I get a touch. Make all the noise you want. But I know I will be made whole. I know I will be healed. I know I will survive this moment. I know I will land on my feet. I know I will prosper. I know I will succeed. I know my latter days will be greater than my former days. I know I'm more than a conqueror. I know I will land on my feet. I know God will take me through this. I know God will guide me through the night. I know God will show me where the green pastures are. I know God will help me in the time of my trouble. I know God will protect me in the presence of my enemies. I know he will anoint my head with oil. I know my cup will run over. I know it. I know it in the noise. I know it in the pain. I know it in the sickness. I know it in the crisis. I know it. I just know it. Till cancer, I know it. Till depression, I know it. I know it. I know in my heart this Sunday morning. I know it. 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 What day did you say? What day?
Today is my day.
You mean right now?
Today is my day.
After all you've been through. I dare you to believe it. I dare you to believe it. I dare you to believe it.
Today is my day. Today is my day. Today is my day.
You gotta know it. In spite of the noise around you. As I close today, two things I want to challenge you. It's to sow in this anointing. Not the shaking of it. Not the clapping of it. Not the theatrics of it. The intelligence of it. The knowing of it. I call your mind to divine order. I call your mind to divine order. I rebuke chaos and confusion. You will have clear direction in the next 3 days. God's going to give you clear direction. The fogginess is passing by. The indecisiveness is leaving. The forlornment is leaving. I call your mind into sobriety. You've been drunken with worry. You've been drunken with uncertainty. You've been drunken by care. Sober up. God knew this time was coming. God's going to let you know. As you sow into it, we're not sowing into this part of the anointing or that part of the anointing or shouting it. No. We're sowing into the classified intelligence that God has that I need to know to handle the situation I'm in right now. Whisper it in my ear. Show it to me in a dream. Send it through a prophet. But in the next 3 days, ow!
You're showing me.
In the next 3 days, I'm gonna put this to rest. I'm gonna put this to rest. Speak to your bed and tell them, I'm getting ready to get some good rest. I'm not going to be thinking in my sleep. I'm not going to be wrestling in my sleep. I'm not going to be worried about it in my sleep. I'm going to get some good rest because in the next 3 days, I'm going to settle this. Oh!
And you're showing me.
I'm going to know it.
You're showing
I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know what to say. I'm going to know who to talk to. I'm going to know where to go. God is going to give you knowledge in the noise. I was reading about noise, and they said noise confuses the mind, even has a biological effect on the mind. It's a tactic and a device that the enemy uses to confuse you. Noise is how battles were won in the Old Testament. Not always won with swords and shields. They were won by noise. Beating on lanterns and making noise. Confuse the enemy. I rebuke the confusion. Knowing gives you a certainty. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to walk in what's ordered for me. Give me my peace back. Give me my contentment back. Give me my rest back. I'm going to know. And finally, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, on the holiest week of the year, the most sanctified week out of 52, I'm going to tell you something. I really don't understand why you insist on not getting saved now. It was a bad choice anytime, but right now, with the Bible looking like the newspaper and the newspaper looking like the Bible right now, with plagues coming, one right after the other, and as soon as they get a vaccination for one, here come another one, another strand. And the Bible talks about in the last days how plagues and diseases and wars and earthquakes in diverse places, the weather would be uncertain. A month ago, it was freezing here. Water pipes were bursting. People were freezing to death in their house 30 days ago. Outside is 70-some degrees now. You don't know whether to turn your heat on or your air conditioner. The trees don't know. One moment they're freezing, and now the leaves are budding. We're living in the last days. And I thank God for all the people that's trying to make it better. I thank God for all the physicians. I thank God for all the doctors. I thank God for all the politicians that's trying to hold the country together, trying to hold the nation together. But all of you together does not take away from the fact we're living in the last days. If ever was a time you needed Jesus, ain't nothing out there to make you high enough to make this not true. If ever was a time you needed a foundation that was solid, it's right now. I'd like to pray for you. You can't earn this. You can't deserve this. Don't nobody deserve to be saved. It's mercy. God wants to extend mercy to you right now. Yeah, I hear you talking. Yeah, we go through all the stuff you go through. You get sick, we get sick. You die, we die. You lose a job, we lose a job, all of that. We might lose a job, but we don't lose ourselves. There's something that undergirds us that we might cry, but we still walking. Because we know in whom we have believed. Can I pray with you right now? In the spirit, I just took you by the hands. And I'm leading you to Jesus. On the holiest week of the year, Give me your hands. Give him your heart. Let's pray. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood. Set me free. My old life is not working. I repent of my sins. Now, God, have mercy on me. I got to grow. But I'm taking the first step today. Come on. I'm taking the first step today. I'm giving my whole life to you right now so I can know in all this noise who I really am, what I was created to be and do. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want 2 minutes of praise. Can you last that long? Just 2 minutes of praise for souls, for the word, for the truth, for liberty, for healing, for restoration, for the things you wrote down on your list, for the things you're in the middle of, for God giving you answers, for God opening doors. Come on, come on. Don't get tired. For God opening doors. For God making ways. For God giving you peace. For God giving you direction. For God setting you free. For God. For God is the kingdom. For God is the power. For God is the glory. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.